Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, the lovely Jill Sirkin.
Hello.
Hello. Listen, we've got another guest on the phone.
We've had
a bit of a last-minute change.
Well, that's what we love.
We thrive on the dynamism of this show.
Lynn Roseman is listening now. I'm hearing how we thrive on not planning.
Yeah, we're actually joined by Charlie Stewart of Charged Up. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm really well, thank you. Thank you for joining us at the last moment. I know Hugo was called away to a very urgent meeting, so thank you for stepping in and joining in. Do you want to kick off, Charlie, by telling us a little bit about the business, Charged Up, and what you're all about? I know there's a number of things I was going to talk to Hugo about, but let's start at the beginning with what you actually do.
Sure, absolutely. So the core business which we operate is a phone charging company, and the business was started by Hugo just before he was due to go on a round of very important interviews, wanted to finish university. His phone was dying, nowhere to charge it whatsoever. You could either lock it away in a phone locker company, or you'd have to ask someone at the venue you're in if they had a charging wire.
Yep.
He thought there must be a better way to go about charging your phone in public. Mm-hmm. He also happened to be riding a Boris bike around London and liked the convenience of moving from one place to another, leaving the bike wherever you see fit. The two ideas came together, and that's where Charged Up was born out of, the ability to rent a portable power bank in one location, take it with you to charge your phone, and drop it off in a completely different destination.
Wow, what a fantastic idea.
Yeah, innovation.
It's amazing how these things come together, as you say, as a fusion of two different ideas, suddenly bring it together. So when was the business launched, Charlie?
So we launched about 2 years ago now,
right?
And we started with a local pilot in Shoreditch in London, where we had about 30 sites, I believe. And since that point, and just over 2 years, we've grown to around 3,000 units across the UK, also in Germany and the Netherlands now. So our reach really is European, and we're hoping to expand on that as things slowly start to ease again.
Yeah, absolutely. So just give us a quick overview of how it actually works. If I want to charge my phone, I'm out and about in London somewhere, my phone's looking a bit peaky, what do I do?
Is it like a Boris bike?
It is exactly like that. So let's say if you're in one of our partner pubs, a Green King or a Stonegate, you're in there, you've got your phone, your battery is low, you download our app from the App Store, so that's Charged Up on Google Play and on the App Store. Once you've created an account and attached all your associated details to that account, there's then a unique QR code on the front of the Charged Up station, which you'll typically find on the bar, if not on the bar, somewhere else around the venue. You scan the unique QR code through the app. That will then give you your payment options, whether you want to take it for an hour, 2 hours, a day. It's totally up to you. Once you choose the required time that you want to move ahead with, the payment is then processed through the app. A portable power bank is released from the station, very much like a toaster in appearance and operation.
Wow.
A pop-up.
It pops up, your notes there. You take that away with you back to your table, and it's got all of the cables that you need built into the power bank. And all you do when you're done, you pop it back in, like you're putting a piece of bread back into the toaster again, into your rental.
If you've got some sourdough as well, you're well away there, aren't you?
Absolutely. All of the bread varieties are supported.
What a fabulous idea. That's a fantastic idea, because you're absolutely right. You know, there's nothing worse than being out and about and your phone or your tablet or whatever starts to run out of power, and then, you know, we're so dependent on these things now for everything. Funnily enough, I just read a comedy book called Logging Out, and it's about a guy that tried to live without any technology, and just driving anywhere without Google Maps or whatever.
Which
is hilarious. Yeah. So you're absolutely right. Now, I don't know if you, Hugo actually wrote me a blog about the move to remote working for you guys when the pandemic first struck. I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that. He wrote me a very interesting blog about the trials and tribulations, the successes and the drawbacks of moving everybody to work from home. Have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, of course. I suppose you could say the positives, and it's hard to say because obviously there have been so many drastic and horrible things to happen as a result of this pandemic. But one of the benefits is that it's accelerated a movement which you see quite often in the Scandinavian countries around focusing on having a better work-life balance and what that actually means on a week-to-week basis. And I think what we've seen over the course of this pandemic is it's accelerated that move, which might have been in 5 years' time, to now. And it's shown a lot of businesses that actually, if your employees and your colleagues are left to their own devices and left with a job to do, the overwhelming majority of them get on with it and do it. And not only that, are actually more productive being at home in their own space than they are when they're in the office. And so what the pandemic gave us as a business was the confidence to know that it doesn't matter where our team is across the world, we know that we can come together to get the job done. And that not only benefits the immediate people who, you know, previously were commuting every day to Shoreditch into our office, it actually gives the business the scope and the ability to look further afield than London, than the UK, and look into the global market and attract the best talent from around the world.
Absolutely. It's interesting, isn't it? Because as you quite rightly say, one of the few positives that's come out of this is it's given an impetus for people to try things that they were not trying before. Because one of the big things, I'll explain why it's important to me in a moment, but one of the big things is that a lot of businesses, especially big corporates, said, oh, you know, well, if we let people work from home, productivity will dive. And of course, that has not proved to be the case. In fact, productivity has increased. From my point of view, I actually own a community workspace, a hot desking space.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we always saw, we've been going 9 years now, and in the early days, we had a lot of home workers that would work at home for 2 or 3 days a week, but then the loneliness of working from home can kick in. So they would come and spend 1 or 2 days in a workspace locally still, so there's still no commuting, but then they've got that, you know, that meeting of minds and other people to talk to and things like that. So for you guys, with a workforce working at home, how do you do team-orientated stuff? You know, do you get together?
Yeah.
Virtual daiquiris.
Yeah. there's been a ridiculous amount of quizzes. I think I would know some ridiculous amount of trivia by now with the amount of Zoom quizzes that have happened over this pandemic. But speaking on the business itself, so we still, of course, try to always come together as a team. So whether that's in our various departments on a weekly basis, having check-ins with people here and there, but also making sure that at the end of the week, we do all make an effort as a business to come onto a centralized Zoom call where we're having a recap of what's gone on in that week, what the successes we've had. We've got an amazing tech team that do, you know, create a ridiculous amount of products for us and innovative solutions to a whole range of problems. And we don't get to see that when we're not in the office because they're working away. Sorry, when we're from home, we don't get to see that because they can't show us what they're making. But that end of week Zoom call allows us and allows them to show the company what they've been working on, what cool, exciting features they're going to be launching on the charged up app when our network gets back up and running again. And then beyond that, it also gives us the opportunity to just, you know, have that water cooler conversation that you would typically have in the office and still have that connection with your colleagues. So we've found a good balance, but I think moving forward, and one of the excellent things that Hugo and the management team have decided to do moving forward is it'd be very easy to say, okay, the pandemic's over now, things are moving on, let's get everyone back into the office and go back to how it was. But there clearly is a desire amongst the workforce to keep this level of work-life balance where you're not having to spend 2 hours of your day commuting to and from an office. But we also wanted to ensure that we could still have that connection time with our colleagues, because at the end of the day, lots of your colleagues become your friends. And so the move towards a co-working space and a smaller office that we've moved to now, it gives us the ability to, on a Monday, everyone come in. We have our weekly setup meeting to understand what the goals and objectives are for that week. And from that point onwards, we're then flexible. We can come in if we want to. We can work from home if we want to. But because we've joined the network of offices, you know, I live in West London, for instance, and there's one 5-10 minute walk away from me. I might not want to work from home, but go into an office. I can just go around to that co-working space. And so it's really all about flexibility, which I think gives employees and colleagues the trust and belief that you know, that we're still going to get the job done no matter where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. Meet your targets despite it working at home.
It ticks so many boxes, doesn't it? Because it's much more climate friendly. Because we're not consuming resources in just travelling by car or train or whatever.
But it's healthier. I mean, I know my youngest, who's 24, is working from home. He works for a company called Softcat. He's met all his targets. He's managed to get promoted during lockdown, which is amazing. But not only that, he's now cooking. He's got time to cook. He gets a Riverford box and he's exercising, in as Charlie says, in the time that he would have been commuting to and from the office.
Yeah, I mean, where we are in Kent, you're talking about 4 hours a day commuting to London.
If the trains run on time.
If the trains are running, So
and the cost.
So there's lots of benefits to it. There's also challenges, as Charlie identified, you know, because you still need to have that camaraderie. You still need to have those shared goals and meetings. But you seem to have cracked it.
Charlie, how different is it working in Germany? You mentioned Germany, and what was the other country? Was it Holland?
Holland, yeah.
So the Netherlands. Is it?
Yeah.
So I think with those guys as well, they're moving to a similar sort of position, particularly in Germany. I know my colleague over there is very much being flexible in what he's doing. But, you know, the whole flexibility issue as well is not just necessarily where you are. It's the acceptance now that, you know, there's lots of talk about your work life and your personal life are sort of intertwined now. And in a way, that's true. And it's also not necessarily a bad thing, because if, for instance, when you're working in an office 9 to 6, you know, you have your lunch hour at a certain time, I'm now free if I wish at 10 o'clock, as long as there's nothing pressing that needs to be done. If I want to go to the gym, not that they're open at the moment, of course, but if I want to go to the gym at that particular time because it's quieter, I can, and then have the knowledge that later on I'll make that hour up in the evening again.
Or you can go for a cycle ride or a walk, or you know, which is more accessible at the moment.
Absolutely.
And do you see, do you and Hugo see yourself going over to Africa? And because I'm thinking, you know, big mobile phone community in Africa.
Yeah, so I mean, the scope of our plans is truly international, and the opportunity, the great thing about working in phone charging is that it's a universal problem, and the vast majority of the world have access to the phones and various things. So we do have worldwide ambitions, but of course there are lots of things that we're looking to do a bit closer to home before we explore that sort of route, but it's definitely something that would be on our horizon.
Fantastic. And Charlie, just want to finish up on something that I know you've been doing. I hate to use the term because it's become a bit of a cliche, but you did pivot the business in response to the COVID pandemic. And you've been putting out sanitization stations, I do believe.
Indeed. The pivot word, the P word, is back again. The way that this project came around, so you're absolutely right, we've supplied around 10, I think we're coming up to actually, it'll be 30,000 sanitizer stations across the UK in a couple of weeks' time. But how we got to that point was back in February, before the lockdown came into place, we had just purchased around 150, 200 new phone charging units to go into high footfall spaces, so train stations, airports, and we were all gearing up for that big rollout in the next phase of charge stuff development. And then obviously lockdown hits, so our revenues basically go to zero overnight. As did the rest of the hospitality space and the travel sectors and all those various areas.
Yeah.
And so we had quite a lot of capital tied up in some units, which we can't really do anything with because phone charging is not on anyone's horizon. So we thought, well, we've already purchased these. They've already been made. What can we do to help at this moment in time? So luckily, we were able to work with our manufacturing partner to convert those initial units into hand sanitizer dispensers. It was just something as initially to keep us busy and keep us occupied. We managed to sell those within a week or two, completely sold out, and that gave us confidence that there's actually a marketplace here and there's room for innovation. And so we worked on a more specific design, a more tailored design, which was suitable and designed from the origin to be a hand sanitizer station as opposed to something we converted. And then 3-4 months down the line, we've got our units in every single tube station in London.
Wow.
We've got our units in every single Network Rail Manch site, so that's a King's Cross or Euston. and then thousands of other units across the UK, and lots more exciting things happening. We're sort of producing around 10,000 units a week or something along those lines at the moment, and I imagine you'll hopefully see quite a lot of those around Kent as well.
And what's the capacity of that machine?
So we've got a range. We have 5-liter options, which are both hand and foot operated. So you can choose between the two. And we also have 1.2-liter and 1-liter automatic dispenser units. So we have the full range, whether you want something which is a bit more simple and can hold larger volumes, or if you want something which is touchless, we've got every base covered. But again, that was a learning project for us, and it was not something we ever thought we would be doing at the turn of the new year.
But it's kind of exciting, though, isn't it? Again, it's another one of those things. When you're forced to do something, you know, I say forced, but you know, when an opportunity comes along and circumstances make it's quite exciting to get involved in a kind of what we used to call back in the day a skunk work, which is just kind of adapting something to do something else.
This is it, and it was fascinating for me as well to see, from being in the initial discussions around ideas of things that we could do in this time to keep busy, but also provide something which is going to be valuable, to see it go from an idea of just someone saying something to then actually a product being in place, a product being in market, and then looking at the types of numbers of units we put out into the UK over the last 3 months. It's been incredible to watch. And also just shows, you know, when people come together to do something, as long as you go for it, you can certainly do that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's fantastic. It's a brilliant story, Charlie, and thank you so much for sharing it with us. You know, what you guys have done, you know, since the inception of your business has been nothing short of phenomenal. You know, you're rolling out innovative products all across different spaces, and it's that kind of thing that will eventually get us out of the problems we're in economically. With the way we are.
If you think there was such a shortage of hand sanitizer at one
Well, it didn't exist really, did
no,
they?
Exactly. Yeah. People were going mad for it, weren't they?
Yeah, exactly. So, Charlie, thank you for joining us at last moment. It is really, really appreciated. Thank you for sharing that with us. Thank you for sharing your story with us. If people want to find out more about your organisation, what's your website or contact address?
No, thank you very much. You can reach us on chargedup.green, or if you're looking for any hand sanitizer units for your business, you can reach us at cleanedup.green, where you can see all of our products on there as well.
Fantastic. We've put both those links on the radio website, so if people didn't write that down, you can find it on the website. It will remain there in the archive should you want to look that up. For the moment, Charlie Stewart of Charged Up, thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
Cheers now.
Bye,
Charlie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Charlie Stewart there of Charged Up UK.
He was good, wasn't he? Because he stepped in at
last minute. I rang Hugo and he went, oh, really sorry, I'm going into a meeting, but talk to Charlie.
Yeah, it's all happening there.
Charlie was a co-founder with Hugo of the business. So
thought he knew a thing or two.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what a fantastic business. And it just shows you how innovation can come about if you really apply yourself.
We look forward to seeing those around, hopefully in Kent as well. Little toaster type things.
Now, there's lots of things going on Twitter, most of it rude.
Well, of course, they're all enjoying my Congo.
Well, Diamond Circle Weddings, we love the Zooms, not as much as the conga in the Congo.
I know, and they've actually taken the trouble to do a photo, which I've downloaded. Come on, Jules, let's do the Congo. Very amusing, boys and girls. There you go.
Tracy Ferguson says, thank you, Jules and Paul, for the lovely shout out. You're very, very welcome.
And she says also, what a great use of creative thinking and innovation, rechanging the use of the charging units to hand sanitizer units during COVID-19. Fantastic interview with Charlie.
Yeah.
I wonder what she's nibbling while she's listening.
Yeah, Tracy was also saying about comments about home working and now being able to source the best talent with no geographical restrictions.
Yeah.
I don't think people realise just how important this is. This commuting thing has been the bane of everyone's life for the last 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
You know, house prices in the home counties, you know, Kent, Surrey, Sussex, have inexorably risen so that you can commute into London, because none of us can afford to live in London, because that's where the work was. Mm. And you've got both the cost of commuting, the time, and the eco-unfriendliness of commuting. Whereas
It's unpleasant sometimes. I've come back from London on the sort of Thursday night thing, and there's everybody eating McDonald's. Sorry, but other burgers are available. It stinks. You know, there's people, and they're on their mobile phone shouting. It's not nice. It's not pleasant.
And the interesting thing is about this attracting talent from anywhere, is that that talent can reside anywhere as well. So it has a big knock-on effect on your salary levels and all kinds of things. You know, you could paying people a London salary if they live in East Anglia is amazing because it works. And I've got a friend that owns a law firm, and they're a very progressive law firm, and he has a senior lawyer who has worked for him for 4 years, and they've never physically met.
Wow.
She's based in northern Norway. She is English, married to a Norwegian, lives in Tromsø, up in northern Norway, and she does all of her work remotely.
In the dark.
Exactly. 18 hours a day.
Eating a little sort of,
smorgasbord.
Yeah, a little smorgasbord,
But herrings, actually, I think is...
Herring,
But... enough of the racism. the fact is that remote working, what are called digital nomads in the past, is the future. And to be honest, it always has been, but just everybody just didn't have the will to do it. Everybody was terrified of doing it. They didn't think the technology would work. The two biggest drawbacks are three biggest drawbacks. The technology wouldn't work, productivity would go down, and how do you manage people? And I think what we've proved now is that
we're adults.
Yeah, all of those things are doable.
You've got to earn a salary, so you've got to work. You've got to be motivated. People are cooking again, Paul. People are at home, and they're walking, they're cycling. It's amazing. I'm seeing people walking on the seafront where I live, and, you know, they're all new. They're all people that I've never seen before.
I thought you were going to sing a little song there, Walking on the Moon. I thought you were going to do that.
Going to do that. Funny you should say that. But I hope it continues. I'd love us to go out to theatres and cinemas, and I'm sure we will. But I think the fact that the nation has hopefully got healthier in the long run is good. It's good to see restaurants are busy again and opening. They've done a lot of work. On the weekend, I was in Orr, which is near Faversham, and there are two pubs there, the Three Mariners and the Castle. And they were making all this outdoor space, big marquee, you know, cleaning tables, all the signage going up, one-way systems. They've done a lot of work, so good luck to all the hospitality. Of course, Michelle Roux opened Le Gavroche. Macnade, talking of food, I haven't mentioned much food, have I? Opened a new fish butchery.
Oh, I heard that, Pesky's.
Yeah. You can nip along there. Pesky fish, a range of fresh fish and seafood. Talking of Norway, with 100% traceability from the boat to your plate. So that's Macnade. If you know them, they're in Faversham, and I think they were delivering during lockdown. So probably they still are.
Fantastic.
There you go.
We're going to play some more tunage while we get our last guest on the phone.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
That's Richard Archer.
Yeah.
In Dover.
Bit of 10cc.
Not in love.
Are you not?
Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go. When you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up. Thank you. like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go. When you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up. Agree to disagree, but disagree to part. When after all it's just a compromise of the things we do for love.
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 Love a bit of 10cc.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
She likes a bit of 10cc, she
do.
Says.
I had the word love in, I wasn't far off.
Are you in love with a bit of 10cc?
I think it was my first slow dance, was I not in love, with a guy that I really did love. He was very nice. His name was Julius.
Julius?
Yeah, I was only about 15.
Okay.
Yeah, I wonder what he's doing now. He's probably got no hair and no teeth.
Yeah.
He was nice at the time.
Absolutely. Anyway, listen, we're joined by another guest on the phone now. We have Mr. Richard Archer. Buckhurst Media.
Let's hear it for Dover.
Hi, Richard. Yeah. How are you?
I'm very good. It's good to be on the show again. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, you haven't been on for quite a while, have you? Yeah, which is a bit remiss of us.
Yeah, I must have been 9 months, maybe a year tops.
Yeah, very tardy of you, Richard.
Yeah, so anyway, we've got you back, and we want to hear what Buckland Media have been up to, because, like a lot of us, things have been tough for us. I know that you guys always did a lot of work in the events industry, so I guess that's kind of hit you a bit hard.
Yeah, I mean, the events industry, we were very often doing last-minute events where we'd been putting together sort of graphics or banners or displays, and that's just disappeared for us, really, unfortunately.
For the time being, anyway, presumably it will come back eventually, but as you say, right at the moment, it's something that's gone away. So what have you been up to? What have you been doing?
Well, we haven't neglected our time, Paul, as you can imagine.
I guess we ought to say, for those people that don't know, I mean, Buckland Media has been around a long, long time. I mean, when was the firm founded?
It was over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I think we touched on this before. It used to be part of the Buckland Mill many years ago.
Yeah, you don't sound old enough, Richard.
No.
I look old enough, though, Paul.
No, you don't.
You can't have had the word media in that 100 years ago, surely?
No, it was originally Buckland Press, which was part of the Buckland paper mill that used to make all the Conqueror stationary paper.
William the Conqueror, that must have been.
we're in one of those collective moods now, Richard. Sorry about that. We're being facetious.
I'm in trouble.
I just wanted to establish that because you've been around a long time, and one of the things that I love about your business is just how innovative you are. For a business that's been around a long time, a lot of businesses kind of rest on their laurels, but you've never done that. You've always been very innovative and very creative.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we over the years we've done things from record sleeves for the big names like the Beatles through different people that have created the CDs and done those. That kept us going through the 60s, 70s and 80s, as well as lots of other printing, of course.
Yeah.
And then digitally printing come along, so shorter run and personalisation and different effects that you can have on print to try and make it a little less sort of as it traditional, shall we say.
Sure.
And now more recently now we put in a lot of wide format kit that's allowed us to do large signage, banners, and different types of boarding, hoarding for buildings, which is kind of what's been keeping us busy in this bad time, has been signage and site signage, hoardings and things like that. So we've been doing okay.
Yeah.
Luckily, we've managed to capitalise on COVID signage as well.
Sure, yeah.
There's certainly a lot of that around.
Yeah.
Yes, that definitely kept us busy.
Cool. I mean, I know a couple of things that I've seen you doing over the last year or so. You had a very innovative range of, I don't know what you call them, eco-friendly kind of pull-up stands. I don't know what to call them because they're not pull-ups, but they're an alternative for a pull-up, but they're very eco-friendly. Are you still doing those?
Yeah, we definitely. I mean, honeycomb boards.
Yeah.
Obviously, again, when it was the events and people were putting on shows and displays, then they were a bit more prevalent. At the minute, you know, lots of people have gone back to vinyl, but those boards are very good. They're compostable. They're recyclable. Mm. And if it's needed as well, they're eco-friendly inks of latex. Or even food safe inks as well that we use, so they're fully compliable for eco-friendly and compostable.
Mm. And one of the other things I really love that you do is, and again, I don't know the technical term for this, but they're kind of the big vinyl kind of wall signs and backgrounds and backdrops. I don't know what you call them on a car. It would be a vinyl wrap, but
I mean, it's kind of a wall wrap is the best way to describe them.
Yeah,
they can be anything from a vinyl to a textured vinyl to a traditional wallpaper, but personalised with brand logos or some of the good things that we see. Tattoo parlours, obviously they have brilliant artwork that they have on their walls, and they can be put in boardrooms.
Well, funnily enough, I've got one in my office, and it's a brick wall with graffiti on it, but the graffiti is the name of our company, so it looks quite fetching.
Do you ever climb it?
I climb the wall. Yeah.
That would be a lot of layers of ink if you could.
Can you imagine that?
Could be possible.
What's the most unusual thing you've ever been asked to do?
At work.
At work.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, let's keep it clean,
I'm
Richard.
A bit nervous there. How clean could I keep it? We've done all kinds of. Yeah. What's the weirdest thing that we've been asked to do? Wrapping of filing cabinets, make them a bit more interesting.
That's a good idea, because they're always a bit grey, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, you can sometimes do these wonderful boardrooms which have got this lovely big graphic, not necessarily branded. It just brightens the boardroom up, gives a focus.
Mm.
And then you go back about 2 weeks later and you have a meeting in that same boardroom and there's this whacking great big grey filing cabinet in front of your piece of artwork, and integrate the filing cabinet into the wall.
You can put your phone on silent, you know, Richard.
He's on a landline.
you're bleeping away merrily. And how is Dover at the moment? I haven't been out for 14 weeks. So what's Dover like at the moment? What are the restaurants and pubs and things?
To be honest, I haven't been into Dover very much, but it seems pretty much the same. There's that big new development down the seafront where they put in a cinema and a shopping centre, which seems to have brightened it up quite a bit.
So you based on the outskirts?
We're in the centre of Dover, the factory is,
and the
offices, and where we do the production. I live in Canterbury, so for the past 3 months I've been home working, and just from there and popping in as and when needed, really. So,
sure.
Yeah, same as everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
I suppose with Zoom, Paul and Richard, that these backdrops are even more sort of apt, aren't they? If you're on Zoom and you've got everybody looking at everybody's front room at the moment or their kitchen or whatever, it'd be good to have an interesting backdrop when you're on Zoom.
Just before you answer that, can I tell you a little bit of a funny story about that?
I knew you'd have one.
There was a Zoom meeting in the early days of this, and of course all of us were sat there with our room behind us, you know, and the kids wandering in and all the things that went wrong. And then I was in a meeting and the person that was leading the meeting had a really lovely, a unique study they were in, you know, with lovely artwork on the walls and stuff. And they went out for a comfort break. And while they were out, one of the other delegates took a photograph of the backdrop and then changed their own backdrop to be this room.
Ah.
So when the guy came back, he kept looking at it and he went, "Your room's very similar to mine, you know."
Yeah.
Once where he was.
But it's very true, isn't it? There is a market now in Zoom backdrops. But aside from a technical backdrop, if you're going to work from home, one of the things that I've always seen, and one of the reasons I used the vinyl that I did in my office, is it gives it a bigger sense of space. Go on, sorry, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, if it's done cleverly through the design, you can make a very small space seem a lot bigger.
Yeah.
With the design, something that behind me, I've built an outside office just before lockdown, just really not in COVID preparation.
You didn't have a premonition then?
Well, no, I was just fortunately built one, and then it went into lockdown about 2-3 weeks later. So
you couldn't give me 6 numbers, could you, between 1 and 54? Just asking for a friend.
I could have a go, Paul. But I have a sign behind me with a clear background, and it's true. When I see them on the TV or on the news, and you can see everybody's sort of shelving and junk, it's quite intrusive to their personal space.
Yeah.
You know, pull up banner. I saw the World Health Organization, WHO, they had a banner to the side of them. And it's been something that we're looking at for exterior BDMs and exterior reps that may need them. And we can ship them straight to their houses from the marketing team or whoever's organizing it.
Yeah.
And then they've got a privacy protecting background in some shape or form. Just gives it that little bit more professionalism. Now we're moving out of full lockdown. Something interesting that my CEO and I have done is I've got the joke is I've got more sheds than garden, but I put up another shed for a man cave, which is a dartboard in it.
Yeah, you're a bit of a shed freak, aren't you?
If I said I've got 4, is that weird?
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. Have you got optics in there yet, Richard?
Yeah, and we for the man cave, we put some graphics in the man cave, and my CEO hangs his phone up on his dartboard, and I hang my phone up on my dartboard, so we play online darts as well. So man caves and offices are going to be quite useful for a lot of people.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, garden rooms and garden offices are going to be big over the next few years, without a doubt.
Yeah.
So as far as Buckland is concerned, as we start to kind of gently unwind from where we've been, just go over the range of the kind of products that you're specialising in these days.
Do you do white papers, for example?
Do we do what, sorry?
White papers.
White papers, as in the white papers that get released? Or?
Yeah, sort of very posh brochures, aren't they, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where we started from, with the long run of print. And as print has moved on and the volumes come down, the quality of the brochures that have moved up. So you've got something really nice, tactile, and you can actually sell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mainly the housing industry and estates industry,
yeah,
they're having
really
top-end brochures because the brochures are helping to sell a very top-end price.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's kind of what we call our traditional print.
Yeah.
Then we have our design and graphics side, which is all sort of putting together artworks for traditional print, artworks for large areas of signage, artwork for personal print, which is variable data, which basically means you can create a very good looking mailer and personalize it to the person that you're sending it to, just to make sure that they take a look at it, rather than you send them a leaflet, they might just go, "Oh, it's junk mail, I'm going to chuck it in the
bin."
Sure,
yeah.
You can personalise it with all different images and graphics. It's tailored to who you're sending them to. And then we have our signs and displays, which we've just created a new web shop for.
Okay.
So if you go to our website, bucklermedia.co.uk, and there's signs and displays online shop that has all the marketing tools and events tools in there that you could possibly need. Mm. And we started doing this about a year ago, and COVID and lockdown and furloughs and all of the things that just allowed everybody to have a bit more time for things they put off.
Yep.
We managed to get this ready and launched it just a couple of weeks ago. So it'd be great if people could go on online again and look at bucklermedia.co.uk and have a look at the signs and displays online shop.
Mm.
So that's our core, really.
Sorry to interrupt. When you say signs and displays, do you do things like shop signage? You know, the outside signage that goes
so
above the door
and stuff, and the top bit with the logo on and all that. What's that called? Like a strap line, isn't it? Almost.
Yeah.
So we sort of.
What do you call that in the trade? That top banner outside on a shop.
Frontage signage.
But it's that side of it's growing for us.
And
we started to see that just by doing some office interiors for some customers that we had, the customer asked us to do their boardroom with a printed wall wrap. So we did that. And then they asked us to do the signage out the front and the banners that would go on the front. So we did that. And then they asked us to do two of their offices, three of their offices, four of their offices, the retail units. And we realised quickly that there's a lot of businesses out there with very boring office space or very boring boardrooms.
Mm.
And people want to work in a nice environment, and they create a nice environment for their staff, or if they've got customers come in, a sort of conversational piece or
just
a healthy environment. It projects professionalism.
Oh, you could make dustbins look nice as well. Residential dustbins, they always look awful. Dustbins. I mean,
Jules has got a thing about a dustbin. Well, I have to tell you.
Do you know how many we have in?
I know, because they never take them away. I've seen the tweets. Don't worry.
We have five dustbins. It's just ridiculous, and any burglar can just stand on them and get over our side gate into the garden. So they're real. But you know, I've got those little sticky flowers all over.
So what you want then to stop the burglars is a lid with an Alsatian on it or something, don't you? 3D. That's what you need, isn't it?
Yeah, and a policeman.
I mean, one of the interesting things about that, Richard, about talking about ballrooms and all the rest of it,
is
of course, after a while, you can change it as well. So you can have a complete makeover in what is really a reasonable, cost-effective way of changing your environment.
Yes, I mean, it ranges all from permanent to absolutely, like you say, they can change it. You can have clipping materials that go into channels around. So if you want to change that, you can move it. If you want to change meeting rooms around, there's graphics that you can move around. So if you've got sort of like the Fruitworks scenario where you've got lots of people that are needing office space, and they can all have different signage go into a different channel depending on what meetings.
Absolutely. That sounds good, Richard. As always, it's really great to talk to you, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Give us another quick shout out for your website so that people can come and have a look at your online shop and find out all the things that you do.
Okay, you have to excuse my Rambo of a small dog in the back.
Yeah. I could hear, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He,
sweet.
Yes,
what type of dog?
He is a Jack Shit.
Okay.
Is he?
So that's Shih Tzu and Jack Russell, yeah?
Correct, yeah. Correct.
Does he play football?
He plays football until he pops them.
Same as me then, really.
Website is bucklermedia.co.uk, and that has in there our print for our traditional style print that everybody recognises.
Sure.
It's got our design and graphics on there, which will show all of the innovative and creative marketing that we do. Signs and displays for the events. But I'm really keen to just let everybody know that we do print, design and install of office interior graphics and business graphics, retail graphics. And more interestingly, pub graphics, because they're normally a bit more fun.
Okay. So very quickly, tell us a little bit about the pub graphics.
Yeah. Why are they more fun? Is that because you drink while you're doing them?
Well, that is one way, but they tend to be a little bit more sort of off-brand sort of graphic. So we've done one for the cricket ground, which was a big Spitfire, but it had it was like Spitfire battleground with the Spitfire brand and Shepherd name. So that was quite good fun. And the bars tend to want something a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, a bit more out there.
Nice one. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to talk to you as always. Keep on keeping on. Buckland Media are one of our favourite local firms. You're renowned for your customer service, as well as your innovation and creativity, and also for your jack shit, for which you are now famous.
We now need a photo, Richard.
We'll tweet that over very shortly.
I'm sure.
Great. Richard, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you.
Bye for now, my friend.
Bye, right. Richard. He's just had his hand bitten off by the sounds of it. Give it a chew, I think. There.
Richard Archer of Buckland Media there. Fantastic firm. I've known Richard and the guys at Buckland for a while now. And they do some fantastic stuff, and they really are good, and they're very innovative. They'll always, try and deliver what you want.
When you want.
But that's standard. Their standard delivery of doing stuff, but I'm thinking about unusual stuff. If you go to them with an unusual idea, they'll try and accommodate it, and that's brilliant.
Artistic, creative. Cloud Desk, I forgot to mention them. They're on the Twitter at AskCloudDesk.
Yeah.
And they've been listening to the show, so hello to you. And Rebecca Nutt, because she's not doing toes and nails and everything, I tell you what, she's going to scream.
I need my eyebrows plucking off. I know.
It's like Dennis Healy sitting
there. Yeah, it is.
But, she's going to scream when she sees my cuticles, I tell you.
I'd scream if I saw your cuticles, don't you worry.
So she's put in, as I said earlier in the show, she's put in basins. She's ready to go, she's just waiting for Boris to say yes.
Yep, absolutely.
So well done. I'm sure she'll be booked up immediately.
Yeah. FSB Kent, maximise your membership with What's In It For Me. This is a webinar that's taking place for both for members and non-members on Wednesday the 15th of July, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now more than ever, it's the time to make sure you're making the most of your FSB benefits. So you can find out, if you're a member, you can find out what all the benefits are now, how to use them, how to access them in this short free webinar on the 15th of July. To register your free place, go to fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent. So do check that out, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Kent. What you got?
That's a good one. Right, the FSB Kent Virtual Business Support is managing your stress in stressful times.
Oh, that's with Ali Hollins, isn't it?
Talking about the FSB. Friday the 10th of July, 10 till 11, so it's an hour. It's backed by popular demand. They say expect a fun, engaging and fast hour of easily digestible, that's not biscuits, evidence-based information together with simple and practical tools you can start to use straight away. And the guest speaker is Ali Hollins. It's hosted by Deborah Turner, and you can go to www.fsb, F for Freddie, S for Sugar, B for Bertie, .org.uk/event-calendar FSB Kent Virtual Business Support. I'm sure the link to that will be on Kent Biz Radio after the show, if it's not already there.
Absolutely.
Usually you're very diligent, aren't you?
Yep. Stay visible, stay viable, stay profitable. This is an event that's happening on Thursday the 9th of July. That's this Thursday at 9:30 a.m. It's a half-day event. We run on Zoom and will be compared by David Taylor of DNA 6 and Jane Knight of Successful Mums. There will be six themes: building an effective business strategy, creativity in the workplace, successful content creation, networking, both online and offline, and understanding digital advertising and data protection and monitoring. So do check that out. There is a link to register your place, but it's unreadable because it's just a collection of numbers and letters. So I'll put the pool link on the Kent Business Radio website.
I've run out of all my emails.
Have you? I've got a couple more that are happening. There's a virtual business support with Bupa Healthcare on Wednesday the 15th of July, hosted by Rosemary French OBE. Bupa Healthcare has partnered with the Federation of Small Business to bring you an exclusive virtual support session with Q&A for small business owners. To register to take part, fsb.org.uk/event calendar/virtual business support. The FSB also have a Maidstone virtual networking at the end of the month on Wednesday the 29th of July from 4pm to 5pm. You can meet other businesses and expand your network at our next virtual FSB Connect event. And this one is hosted by the lovely Peter Searle. And if you want to take part in it, it's Wednesday the 29th of July, so it's at the end of the month, 4pm to 5pm at fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone. That's fsb.org.uk/event calendar/FSB Maidstone. Do check that out.
A little tip for you if you're listening. My friend who's in food hygiene, quite high up, has suggested that you don't use air, the air dryers to dry your hands. So what I've been doing is coming out and just wiping them on my
wiping on your dress. Yeah, exactly.
And then opening the door with my dress as well. So
you should have seen her earlier, listener. It was hysterical watching her try to turn the air conditioning off with her elbow. I just had to sit here and laugh.
Luckily,
it was so
I've got
funny.
Quite a pointy elbow.
She's got very pointy elbows, which always helps, but
it worked eventually. Yeah. But apparently it's a bit like aircon. It would possibly blow the COVID vicious virus into your face. Mm. So who knows?
Cool. Do you know, I think we're fast approaching the end of the show.
The Twitter's got very, very busy, and I can see that Tracy Ferguson is having a natter with Amanda Flanders.
Ah.
And Rebecca Nutt is joining in, but we haven't got time. Oh, yeah, Amanda says it's great to be hearing from the fabulous Richard Archer. Mm. Have I said that? With Vanilla Webb and Jules. And we love someone from Dover, don't we?
We do.
The Whitecliffs.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsors, the lovely folks from Fit for Trade Limited, to our brilliant guests, who was Lynn Reserman of Now You're Talking, Charlie Stewart from Charged Up UK.
Stepping in for Hugo admirably.
And also to Richard Archer of Buckland Media. Thank you all for joining us on the show today. I want to say a big thank you to my co-host, the lovely Jill Serkin. It's been
first time out.
It's been such a pleasure to be out.
To actually see you.
Yeah, it's made life so much better having someone in the studio to work with. It takes all the pressure off.
And also, it's rather funny because you don't freeze like you do on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Zoom.
Do I block up?
Yeah. When your Wi-Fi goes down.
Yeah. You block up. Yeah.
With a funny face. Cool. For about 5 minutes, which I find quite amusing, actually.
So anyway, thank you all for joining us. Thank you for all the tweets and emails and for all the interaction. We couldn't do this without you. We thank you for your support. We'll be back with another show next week. In the interim, stay safe, have a fantastic time, and keep on keeping on. We'll be back soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
This is Channel 2.